And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give you just a moment to find your place. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read down through verse number 8. The Bible said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" And we're not going to read the rest of the chapter for sake of time, but Naaman goes to Elisha, and Naaman is healed of his leprosy. And verse number 14, the Bible said, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you once again for letting us be here today. I want to thank you for all your blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good spirit that we've already felt. And dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we enter into the preaching time today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts from thy word. I pray you'd make it real easy. I pray for liberty to preach today. I pray for unction. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We have many things that we're praying about and thinking about, but God, just for a little time today, I pray we just focus upon your word and what your word says, and I pray that it would speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, that in our lives we'd try to be like this little maid, and God, you can use a word that we say to be a big difference in somebody's life. So Lord, have your way right now. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, you may be familiar with this passage of Scripture. You may not. We're going to look at it today, but I want to begin in verse number 2, and we'll just give you some thoughts to begin with. And the Bible said in verse number 2, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife." And I was thinking about what I was going to preach on this week, and I began thinking about Vacation Bible School coming up. I was thinking about in the Bible of little people, children. You know, you read over there, I've preached before about the little children came unto the Lord Jesus, and there's other young people in the Bible that we read about. And I believe this little maid here in verse number 2, she was a young person. Could have been even a pre-teenage or maybe a teenage age, but she was a young person. The Bible describes her as a little maid. And I was thinking about Vacation Bible School and the little people in the Bible, the young people in the Bible. I thought about the children. I thought about when we have Vacation Bible School, we focus and we concentrate about what we are going to do for them or what we can do for them. And it's sort of the whole week centers around that. It's a time to minister unto the children and to give them the gospel and try to be a blessing, try to be an encouragement to them, try to do something for them. I think about when I was growing up and I was taken to Vacation Bible School, what a blessing it was. And how we enjoyed it as children. And now I look back on it, I realize all the work that went into it, all the effort that goes into it. But we think about what we're going to do for them. But have you ever thought about what they do for us? And that's what I want to think about today when we think about this little maid, what they do for us. I want to try to preach on the subject of lessons from the little maid. There's some things we can learn from her. And we think about this in preparation of Vacation Bible School. You know, I know a lot of you maybe you get sort of stressed out about all that needs to be done. But I think as we enter into something like that, we need to think a little bit about not just doing, but getting something from them. And a lot of times we can learn some lessons from children. I know being a parent, you learn a lot of things from your children that you'd miss otherwise. And so you get little lessons along the way. So I want to try to preach today on that subject, lessons from the little maid. Now, we notice this passage and we didn't read the whole chapter. There's 27 verses in this chapter, but the main characters, we might say, is if we were to read all of chapter number 5, we'd read about Naaman. He's sort of the centerpiece of the whole chapter. We also are introduced to the king of Syria and the king of Israel. Later on, we read about Elisha. We read about Elisha's servant, Gehazi, and they all stand out in chapter number 5. But if we're not careful as we read the Bible, we'll pass over the little maids. We could pass over her and really not even pay very much attention, but chapter number 5 is mainly about Naaman the leper. But the little maid plays a big part in him being healed of his leprosy. And so we want to see that as well today. Now, first of all, I want to point out, as the Bible begins in verse number 1, this man named Naaman. Now, the Bible tells us many things in verse number 1 about Naaman, who he was, what he did, what he was famous for, and there's 4 or 5 things in verse number 1 that we could point out about this man named Naaman. Naaman, the Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. Now, that in our, if we were to convert that over to the rank in our military, Naaman was more than a captain. Naaman was the general. Naaman was the leader. Naaman had achieved a great rank, a great position in his life. He had great authority. He had great influence. The Bible said that he was the captain of the host of the king of Assyria. A lot of people in this life are seeking out a higher position, a higher rank, a higher authority. And Naaman had gone as far as you could go in his field of expertise. The Bible said he was the captain of the host of the king of Assyria. The Bible says that he was a great man with his master and honorable. Naaman had achieved great favor. He was not a military leader that was at odds with the king. But when the king looked at Naaman, the king, in the king's eyes, Naaman was a great man. Naaman was an honorable individual. And Naaman would have been one of the most trusted men in the king's realm. The Bible said he's a great man with his master. The Bible goes on and says about him, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He had great success in what he had set out to do. He had been the means of, if he had been looked at by the by the king there and in his own nation, he would have been a war hero. He'd have been very honorable. He'd have been very well thought about. He'd have been very successful in what he was doing in his life. He also had great prestige. The Bible said in verse number 1, he was also a mighty man in valor. And so when they had a big parade or something like that, and Naaman would be going down the street with the king, he'd have been one of those fellows that had all them decorations all over his chest. Boy, there goes Naaman. Man, he's a decorated war hero. There's nobody like him. He's great. He's honorable. Everybody likes Naaman. He's a national hero. And so we see some of these great things about this man named Naaman, but there comes in a negative thing. If you look at the last part of verse number 1, look what it says, but he was a leper. You ought to underline that in your Bible, but he was a leper. Leprosy in the Bible, as I've preached on many times, seems like especially here lately, but leprosy is a type of sin. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what we are reminded of here in verse number 1 is that though a man may gain the whole world, if he loses his own soul, he's not gained a thing. In fact, he's lost everything. And what we learn here in verse number 1 is that a person may have everything this world has to offer, but if they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, if they have not been cleansed, and do you remember what it said in verse number 14? It said that his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Do you know the Bible says over in the New Testament that except we become as little children, we'll not enter into the kingdom of God. And Naaman, he had everything, but he's a type of a lost person. And he had a disease that he was going to die from. And although he had all this prestige and all this national identity, Naaman would have actually lived a very lonely, secluded life because he was a leper. But his sin will do that to you. You can be popular, you can have money, you can have influence, you can have power, you can have authority and be one of the most lonely, secluded individuals that there ever has been, because all those things won't make you happy. He had everything the world would have to offer, or somebody might think that the world has to offer, but he was a leper. Boy, that cloud over all of his success and over all of his life, that cloud of being a leper, that's something that he went home with. That's something that he laid down on the bed with at night. That's something that he got up with in the morning. And that is something that he knew was going to finally get him one of these days. But he was a leper. But also, and I like when God butts in. And we find that God had so ordained in Naaman's life that even in the horrible business of warfare, that there had come into his life a little maid. And we learn some things about this little maid. There's some lessons about her in verse number 2 that we learn about her, that it actually had a great influence and changed Naaman's life. First thing we learn about her is her commitment. If you look in verse number 2, the Bible said, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, we read here in verse number 2, we learn just a little bit. We do not know her name. We do not know how old she was. We just know that this little maid was carried away captive out of the land of Israel. And we notice that she was very committed unto her God because of the things that she said later on, but I learned something about her life right off the bat. She did not quit on God in bad circumstances. Nobody would have blamed her if she'd have said, if my God's so great, why did he allow me to be carried away captive? But that was not her attitude. She just keeps on for God in spite of everything. Now, you talk about a bad situation. Can you imagine a little girl? Do you know what she was? She was actually a prisoner of war. There had been warfare between Israel and between Syria, and the armies of Syria had come. And one of the things they did in those days, they would carry captives away. Can you mamas imagine the horror of having your little girl stolen away, taken down into a heathen land, living among strangers, among people that don't know your God and all of those things, and her being gone, and you wouldn't know where or what happened to her or anything like that. She doesn't have any family. She's in a strange land. She's in a strange place. She's among a people that are worshiping a strange God. She could have easily said, my God must not be too big. But that is not her attitude that we find her here. In fact, we find that she has the attitude that my God is very big. My God is able in spite of my circumstances. And she served God in the valley in spite of the hard valley that she was going through, in spite of the trouble, in spite of the persecution. In spite of everything, she's going to serve God. She's committed. She's dedicated. 2 Timothy 3:12 said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. A lot of people get off track because they think, well, I got saved. Everything's going to go great now. Might go worse. Might be harder than it was before. You might find that there's a pressure that you didn't realize before. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. You're going to suffer in this life some. You're going to have problems in this life. A lot of people, they don't want that. They want the crown, but they don't want anything to do with the cross. They want to be rich, but they don't want anything to do with righteousness. They want to be happy, but they don't want to be holy. See, they want everything right now. They don't want to wait till later. They want everything like a television show. They think it ought to be fixed in 30 minutes or an hour. But that is not how life is. Boy, this little maid, she finds herself in a terrible situation, a terrible predicament, and she's not on the mountaintop. She's in the valley. But God uses valleys in our lives if we'll let him. And he gets glory and honor. And where the world looks and says, there's defeat. God is an expert in turning that around and saying, look, I made that into a victory for my honor and for my glory. Think about all that. Let me put it like this. You cannot think of anybody in the Bible that's great that didn't go through a valley in their life. I don't care who it is. Moses, Abraham, Job, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach. I mean, just pick one out. Pick out Paul. Pick out Stephen. Pick out anybody in the Bible that God used and put his hand upon, and you'll find that they all went through valleys. They all suffered from time to time. They all had places in their life where they weren't on the mountaintop all the time. But I'm glad I can tell you today that God goes with us through our valleys. Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You may go through the valleys, but you'll find that he's more real in the valley than you ever thought that he could be. When everything is going fine and wonderful and everything's lining up and looking good, and it's at times like that, A lot of times we don't think very much about the Lord. But you get down in the valley and you'll go to looking around real quick if you're smart. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that He's there. He's there in the valley. He's there when trouble comes. He's there when problems come. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. If anybody could have thrown in the towel and said, forget about that, she could have, but she didn't. She didn't. And I don't know of anybody that's been in a worse situation than she was. But I learned a lesson from her commitment, her dedication to the Lord. I learned another lesson about her compassion that she had. Now look in verse number 3. And she said unto her mistress, that's Naaman's wife, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him out, or he would recover him of his leprosy. And you got to look in the Bible, not just what it says, but how it says it. Now, when she says, would God, there's compassion there. There's desire. She doesn't have the attitude, well, the old fella carried me away from mom and daddy and out of my land, good enough for him. Maybe that old leprosy will eat him up and he'll die a horrible death because of what he's done to me. That's not her attitude. She said, would God, my Lord, could know about my God. That's what she's saying. There's a compassion there. She does not look upon Naaman and Naaman's wife as her captors, but she looks upon them as somebody that needs to come in contact with the God of Israel. Would God, I really wish that's what she's saying. Oh, my heart's desire. The only way to have a concern like that for others is that we would learn in this life to die to ourselves and live unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. She had a Christ-like compassion. She looked at that leper and it broke her heart. She reminds me of the Lord Jesus when a leper came to him in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40. And the Bible said over there, and there came a leper to him beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He had compassion on the leper. She had compassion upon the leper. We'll not see very much done by way of souls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have compassion like the Lord Jesus. If we do not have compassion like this little maid that is able to look beyond somebody being your enemy and saying, you know, that's just somebody that needs God. That's somebody that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we'd have a greater compassion. When's the last time you heard or seen or experienced in your own life having a broken heart over somebody that's lost? Psalms 126 verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, we get brokenhearted over some things, but there's some things that they don't move us. I'll give you an example of what I was talking about. Went to graduation yesterday and Brother Carper was preaching. And he told a story. He's talking about things coming up in your life you were not expecting. And he told something that happened last week in his neighborhood. And how that he had a dog that he didn't want the dog, but it was his daughter's dog, and he ended up with it. Not that he loved the dog, but he loved his daughter. And he said his neighbors brought home a, he said, the prettiest German Shepherd pup you ever seen. And he said he was sitting down in his study reading his Bible, and his wife came downstairs and she was all upset, and she said, he said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Our dog just jumped over the fence, killed the neighbor's puppy." And the whole church went like this. Oh, everybody. I mean, everybody had a emotional reaction to this one. I hate it happened. I'm not saying that. But the whole church let out a collective sigh. And I thought to myself, how many times have I preached on Calvary? How many times have we heard about the dear Lamb of God without blemish and without spot, and how they took him and tortured him and killed him and hung him on a cross and spit on him and mocked him and hit him and all those things? We'll sit there with barely one eye open. Well, that don't bother us. Our sense of what ought to bother us, and it's mixed up. I don't know what's wrong with us. We'll get all upset about some things, and then there's other things of far greater importance that hardly moves us. We hear about somebody dying unexpectedly. It doesn't bother us. We hear about some sad story and we weep and we cry and we want to tell somebody else about it. Her compassion was in the right place. She said, Would to God, my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. And if you look in your Bible, there's an exclamation point on the end of that. Boy, I wish he could meet my God. I wish he knew about God what I knew about God. She had compassion. And she desired the best for Naaman and for his family. She had compassion. She had commitment. Number three, I notice her confidence. Look what it said in verse number three. She said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Look at that in your Bible. Underline that in your Bible. She said, "For he would." Well, that's confidence. That's faith. Faith is not believing that God can. Faith is believing that God will. There's a difference. Most people believe that God can do anything, but they don't believe that God will do anything. It's easy for us to believe, oh, God can save the heathen, or God can save the lost over around the world. But now the lost in our neighborhood, that's about a lost cause. What's the difference? Lost is lost, blind is blind, dead in sins is dead in sins. But we can believe for something a long ways away, but it's hard for us to believe right here, right now. Right in our midst. But she didn't say, "I've heard about God doing it in the past and God might do it for you." She didn't say, "I believe he probably would." She didn't say, I know that he could if he wanted to." She said God would heal him of his leprosy. Now that's confidence. And I will say this morning, we should not give up on what we're praying about. Don't give up on who you're praying for. You might think that nothing's going on, that God's not working and moving, but God's always working behind the scenes, we might say. He can work on hearts when it looks to us like nothing's being done, like no change whatsoever is being made. She didn't say, "I think he can, I think he might." She said, "I know he would." And I like that, "for he would recover him of his leprosy." Keep praying, keep asking, keep believing God. He hears and answers our prayers. The Bible said, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." That's a lot of shalls. There's a lot of promises in the Word of God. And I learned something about her confidence. And I learned something also in verses 4 and 5. I learned about her conduct. Now this is very important. The Bible said in verse number 4, and I want to say this before I read this. As far as we know, she just said that one time. But somebody heard what she said. And in verse number 4, the Bible said, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. I heard this little girl talking, and here's what she said. That's all that amounts to in verse number 4. And on the word of the little maid, now on hearsay, the king, he gets together a bounty. He gets together Naaman, and he sends Naaman all on this journey. Verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And I don't know how much money that would be, but I'm telling you, that was a lot of money. He invested a lot of money. He invested a lot of time. He let his number one right-hand man send him off on all on something that a little girl said. All that little maid had said, would to God, for if he could meet him, he would. Do you think her conduct was important? That somebody would listen to what she had to say. Nobody will believe what we say about Christ if we do not exemplify Him in our lives. She must have had a pretty powerful testimony. For all this effort to be put into just something that she said. And if you read the rest of the chapter, and we've already read verse number 14, Naaman went, Naaman was healed of his leprosy, but it was all because a little maid lived above her circumstances and spoke a word for the Lord at the right time, in the right place. And this man was healed of his leprosy. She had a conduct that was becoming of her conversation or her life that she lived. And we might ask ourselves the question this morning, what part am I playing in other people's lives, spiritually speaking? If we testify and as we say things about our God, it ought to be backed up with a life that has some power, that has some influence behind it. Hey, everybody in the world's talking about God one way or the other. No doubt everybody, it was unusual for the Lord to be mentioned, but when she mentioned what the Lord was able to do, they paid attention. And they acted upon it. We could ask ourselves the question, am I helping somebody or is my life hindering somebody? Am I a stepping stone or am I a stumbling block for others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? This little maid's testimony moved the hand of the king of Syria. She had what I like to call a quiet strength about her. I want to read a couple of verses over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you want to keep your place. And I want to turn over there and read just a few verses. She had a quiet strength about her. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to read in verse number 9. As I read these verses, I can't help but think about the little maid. I think she must have lived by this standard. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. Paul is writing to the church there about how they ought to walk and to please God. That's in verse number 1. But in verse number 9, he said this, but as touching brotherly love, Ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And the greatest power in the world is to love one another. Oh, it's easy to hate somebody. It's easy to wish bad upon somebody. But she evidently loved Naaman and his wife. She wouldn't have said anything about him being healed. The Bible said, love one another. Verse 10 said, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And here's the verse I wanted to get to, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. That's our walk before the world. And that ye may have lack of nothing. She had a testimony in just the way that she lived her life. And as a little maid, nobody is going to come to her and ask her opinion about nothing. She doesn't have a say-so. When she walks into the room and she's serving tables, she does not have the freedom to just butt into their conversation. She has one job. Do what Naaman's wife says. Set the table, iron the clothes. I don't know what she did. She was a slave girl. She was a servant. But in her life and her quietness and her minding to her own business, they evidently had noticed something about her and her character and her conduct and her commitment that when she said one word about her God, it moved the whole hand of the king to send Naaman to find out if this God can really cure him, and he did. Well, to have a desire to be like the little maid. Maybe nobody wants to know what you've got to say. You ought to live your life in such a way that they might ask one day, you know, there's something different about them. There's something special about their service. As she was down there, it would have been easy for her to quit and give up. And she could have said, well, what does my testimony matter? It's not like there's a church for me to go to. It's not like any of my family's around watching me, telling me what to do. That wasn't her attitude. Maybe she went about and said, be careful, little maid, what you say. Be careful, little maid, what you do. Be careful, little maid, where you go and watch your hands. You know that little child song we teach our children sometimes? But be careful. Where you go, what you look at, what you say. When people see your conduct, do they say in among themselves, now that's how a Christian ought to be? Or do they say, that person's a hypocrite? I thought they went to church. I thought they did this. Boy, our lives are preaching a message. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. We need a good testimony. Maybe the Lord has not called you to be an Elisha. I don't know any Elishas. I know some great men. I know some great women, but I don't know anybody that had the power that he had. Maybe God's not called us to be an Elisha, but God has called us to be like the little maid. Maybe we can't be like Elisha. The age and the day of the prophets is over with, but we can sure be like the little maid. The day of being a good testimony is still alive and well. Good representative of the church. A good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good representative of, I'm a child of God, I'm saved. I'll exemplify that in my life. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.